There is one important service to be done. Hare Krishna. I feel the best person to do this service is Vipragrit from Moscow. Hare Krishna Vipragrit, I see you. I think throughout the festival we need somebody to open sometimes the window and to close it also. And because Vipragrit is from a cold country, he has compassion with all of us and won't let us freeze. But it's just sometimes something has to come, some oxygen. Thank you very much for chanting so ecstatically. As I'm in Potsdam, or in the Gora Bhavan, that's how we call our little ashram where we stay. I'm at the moment working on the Kirtan retreat. It's like something you could say like the Japa retreat, but in addition to a Japa, we teach Naam Bhajan, that is very absorbed experience of the holy name, and Kirtan, a lot of Kirtan. So for the retreat, the name is actually called the Harinam retreat. It's very, very powerful. And as I do my research, I begin to understand that in our scriptures, the chanting of the holy names together in association with devotees is given the first place as the most effective sadhana or spiritual practice. And a reason is given for this by Jiva Goswami. He says, chanting together is especially delightful. Do you understand this word delightful? It is full of pleasure, full of delight, full of great... And he gives a reason why the chanting is full of delight. He says, in other devotional practices, you have to really control the mind and make a hard effort in order to be successful. I think you know this when you do your japa, and you are not controlled in your mind in the japa. It can become a very difficult task. But if you do kirtan, especially in the association with other devotees, then the sound of the holy name can take hold or capture the turbulent mind. Did you notice when I made the sound? I'll make it again for those of you who are a little tired. Immediately, if we hear this sound, our mind is, what is this? What does he want to show us? The mind is immediately captured by sound. That's why it is so absolutely distressing to sit in Vrindavan next to a loudspeaker, you know, and hear. Because you know you want to chant, but then if this loudspeaker is so loud, like it is in India, then the result is you can do spiritual practice, you can try to do spiritual practice, you can try to read or chant, but because the sound is so strong as an element, it just grabs your mind and pulls your mind. So I know some of you are still resisting when you do kirtan to not allow your mind to be captured by the holy name of Krishna. I know some of you are bahirmukha, means facing the external world and have all your attention in the external world. But please, you know, when can you sit with so many devotees together in a festival and chant, it's now or never. Don't resist that the sound captures your mind. Just give up all opposition against this, and just allow your mind to just become, to just surrender to the task that I will just now sing, and I will hear, and I will sing, and I will hear. That's all. Basta. And you will see something will happen to you. Please don't resist Krishna. We have done this for millions of lifetimes. Now, no longer. No need. It doesn't make us happy. So, when you enter Kirtan, and you just... What does it mean to not resist the sound? Well, you have to go through four steps. You have to take on a very humble position. I'm a soul. I'm sunk in this material world. I'm drowning. And then you should. The second is you should really call out to Krishna, and you will see miracles. That's at least what people tell us at the Yoga Expo, who are in the Kirtan. They have their spiritual realizations, and I think you will also have your spiritual realization because you're so sincere and you want this. I think those who have designed the decoration, do you see that this is the Hare Krishna mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I think it's not yet complete. just now coming. I think this is a very, very intelligent decoration, because this festival will be all about this decoration on the wall, or a lot at least on this. Good. Thank you very much for singing so nicely with us. So my Kirtan retreat, or my work on the Kirtan retreat, let us say like this, gets a practical dimension now. I'm no longer just writing about Kirtan. I can feel it already. Oh, Hare Krishna. Good. Please, let us chant.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Nikti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Satsyadhyane Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Vedaya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
When the avatars of Krishna come to this world, like Lord Nityananda, they always have a message for the souls of the who are in the material universe. They always say, come to that divine place, to your spiritual home. And when the devotees of the Lord who are working for him as preachers or as great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada come to this world, they will repeat this message or in many variations. Come, come, You're not at your original place. You're not in your original life. You lead a life which is not what you wish to live. Come to that divine place. Come to the kingdom of God. Or as Prabhupada said, back home, back to Godhead. They will say to us, be very careful. You don't get this human form of life very often. It is very rare to get a human form of life. There are many other species which are much more in the majority than us humans. Yeah. Alone in this room, there are many more bacteria than you. Millions, billions of life forms are here, which you don't even notice. In the forest, national park, just outside the door, there are many, many more living entities either roaming around looking for food and freezing, or just sleeping under the earth and waiting for better times to come. Acharyas will tell us, you don't get this human form of life very often. And they will say, use it properly. You know, and they will tell you about a road. A road, the Urdhvapundra it's called in Sanskrit. It is a road which leads upwards. They will say, there's a road to the kingdom of God. What is that road? They will say, it's the mercy of Radharani which is that road. And it is also, the road is also the mercy of the devotees who are sent by Radharani to bring us back into this divine place, which is our original home, which is the place where every step is a dance and every word is music, and where you don't hear anything else than Krishna's divine flute moving through the forest of Vrindavan. And they say the road is the road of mercy. That mercy comes either from Radharani or from the devotees who are sent by her, so that yes, we can start our spiritual journey. I would like to read to you from this work, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, something about this point of how Radharani is very merciful and how she sends her devotees to this world to encourage us on our path. There is this part in the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 7, where one of these great souls, he was known as Gop Kumar in this world, is in the morning walking in the direction of Krishna's palace to be there when Krishna comes out in the morning out of the door and to tell Krishna, Suprabhatam, good morning Krishna, wonderful good morning Suprabhatam. You know, so Gop Kumar is on his way to greet the Lord of the spiritual world, Lord Sri Krishna. Then on his way, he meets Srimati Radharani. And Radha stops him and says, Gop Kumar. And she calls him by his name, in which he's known in the spiritual world, Sarupa. No? She says, Sarupa, this morning don't go to Krishna. I have a special, special instruction for you. Rupa says, what? I should not go to Krishna. For a moment he is thinking, is it possible? I'm the whole night I can't sleep to see Krishna. Now Radharani tells me I shouldn't see Krishna. But then he remembers, Krishna is most pleased by Srimati Radharani. So if he follows the order of Radha, then Krishna will show him, will be maximum pleased, and his pastimes with Krishna, his play with Krishna, will be enhanced by Krishna's pleasure. So he hears very attentively, Radha, what is what you want? What is your order to me? And Radharani says very lovingly, Sarup, down on this earth there is one devotee. He's my devotee, but he's a little ignorant. He will come to Vrindavan, which is my place. I'm known as Vrindavaneshwari, and he will come. He will come in one of the forests, my grove. You go there alone, the first thing today, and you enlighten him with good instructions. And you also encourage him. She says, console him. Console means when you are sad and someone puts you back on the track. You must console him. He's very sad. He tries so long to reach me, but he's sad. He thinks he cannot make it. So you go to him and you console him. And you help him very, so that he very quickly can attain Krishna's grace. Radha, this is your instruction. And he quickly comes down into this world, full of pleasure. And he doesn't even have one thought that, oh, today I'm going to miss Krishna's association. Oh, I'm here in this place, you know, last financial crisis. But he is really thinking, let me carry out the assignment of Srimati Radharani. I will not join Krishna when he goes to the forest with his other friends. I won't even miss Krishna's company for one day. Because I know, when I carry out the order of Sri Radha, this will make me very dear to Krishna. I will become Krishna Priya. If I become Hari Priya, I become Krishna Priya. Yes. And then, you know, Krishna will be happy and I will be happy and we will enjoy like anything. Hiding amongst the lotus flowers, in the Jamuna, and doing other place which we do. So this is the great activity of Srimati Radharani and the devotees of Radharani, and also of the Lord Nityananda, who comes into this world. His devotees, they always, you have to understand, there is in this world a party, you know, a group, a community of great souls who come on the order of Radha, or on the order of Balaram, those who come, you know, those who are Radha's devotee come on the order of Radha, those who are Baladev's devotee come on the order of Baladev, and you know, and they come here with that assignment. Do you know what is an assignment? It means an order. That may be a better word. An order which they carry on their head. They will go and help those who need help on their way. So, and they will say to you, to us, come, 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 there is this divine place. Go on the road of mercy. Go on the road of Radha Kripa and Vaishnava Kripa. And don't worry, when you go there, everything will be wonderful. Now it's important that they say don't worry, because there is a great worry. When we leave the body, when we die, see, we can't go in this body. That's the point. It's not the vehicle to enter the spirit world, because it's just material and temporary and dies. So at the moment of death, there are four types of fear which every dying person knows. And if I tell you these four types of fear, you will remember them, because you have died many times. Many times. Ooh, many times. You have forgotten, but if I tell you now the fears, fears means strach, you will remember, you will be able to understand. The fear of the dying man, the first type of fear, is the fear of separation. What this means is, when the subtle body and the soul separate from the gross physical body, that's a very fearful moment. You might have seen dying people, or if you have not seen, Nandarani Priya can tell you that some are overcome by this fear. This fear is so strong that we know one devotee, Lalita Madhava, whose father is just now in the process of dying, and he is so afraid, because it means separation from everything which is dear to him. Separation from all his hopes. And this is a great fear. This is the first fear which overwhelms a dying person. Here comes the second fear. It's the fear which comes when you regret your life. The dying person usually thinks, oh my God, I just didn't think that this would happen to me. And the spiritualist will think, oh, I have not lived my life very nicely. I got the chance of developing bhakti, but I regret. I was so careless. When I chanted my rounds, it was so bad. And I committed, very often I talk bad about those who needed me most, that is the devotees who had some accident in their spiritual life. Oh no, and I was not present in important relationships. It's really when the dying person looks back on his life, he very often is filled with regret. How do we say regret? Jalanye, yes, jalanye. This is really a problem, you know. It's really, oh no. It's really more than oh no, it's terrible, really regret. I had all the chances, I didn't use them. This is fearful. The third type of fear is it still all right for you to hear, or are you getting already? The third type of fear is, you know, the fear of attachment. What this means, this fear, is you are attached to your family members, or a little when you have like parents usually go before us, but your sons, your daughters, relatives or friends, and you may be attached to things for which you worked, like your house or your computer or your dresses, or some things, attachments are very insignificant, but at the time of death they all of a sudden become so significant. And the fourth type of fear is the fear of the future. Where will I go? What is my future? Now, I will very quickly leave everything, but what comes next? These are four types of fear. But my dear devotees, I have such good news. When you go the road of the Acharyas, you are on the safe side. And how? How are these, you might say, Sachinama Swami, but I'm already feeling very fearful. How will I be on the safe side? Please show us. Well, let us address one fear after the other. The first type of fear was?
Separation.
The fear of separation from the body. Thank you very much. I'm very encouraged that you listen so attentively. And you know, being separated by the, it's called the separating sword of time. It's like a sword, cut. Now, if you are following the road of the Acharyas, you have throughout your life cultivated two things. I'm an eternal soul, a part of Krishna. You have cultivated this consciously, and you have acted on that level. That means you have done devotional service. And when the time of death comes, where you are separated from your body, you know, your which is seen by material people as the very existence itself. If you have followed the road of the Acharyas, you have, and the devotees, you have made some realization that and you are sure, I'm not the body. I know many of you don't think about this, I'm not the body. But believe me, when you are in a difficult situation, you will see it comes as a blessing. Also to new devotees or devotees who are trying. It's inherent. Inherent means it's inside the process. It comes to you. Many devotees who have left the body, they became convinced of this because they have acted in devotional service. Let us look at Narada Muni's death as an example. It is described in the first canto when the death of the Bhagavatam, when death came to Narada Muni, it was like a flash came and immediately the light came out. So what does this mean? That the flash was the sudden separation, and the light was immediately he had a spiritual body which was effulgent, and he went. This is coming to a devotee who follows the process of Radha and the process of the Acharyas. It is something which comes to him. So he does need to be so terribly afraid when dying. The second fear, I said there is no fear on this process of Krishna consciousness. The second type of fear is regret, which comes to most people who die. Really, I'm writing on this or researching on this because I have one the third step in what I trained people and devotees in is to understand that their soul, they need to be self-realized a little. So we teach this in our seminars and so on. And you have really, and I now study much literature on, you know, the last sentences of dying people and how it is, and I'm reading interviews of nurses who have seen dying people. Very, very often, when these dying people, they look back on their lives and they see one thing, missed opportunities. And this fills their heart with regret. You know, this missed opportunities. It fills them with, oh no. And so devotees who have when they see this fear at the moment of death, they are not really upset, because throughout their lives they have engaged in acts of bhakti, and even if they were imperfect, they know no problem, because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He's the friend of a devotee. When you're really a friend to someone, do you look at his imperfections? No, you look, he's my friend, he needs help. I saw this just recently in the Balkans. There was a devotee who did something unconventional, and yes, it was not good what happened to him, but this is how the wave of life is something. Sometimes it comes over you. But there were his friends there who said, "You need our help now." This is what a friend is. They say in German, in English they say, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Or they say in Sanskrit, they say, a friend is someone who comes always with you. When you are in troubled times, he comes with you. When you are in happy times, he comes with you. And even if you are carried to the funeral pyre, where your body is burnt, he is there. He is coming with you in the queue. He stands there and he prays, "May everything go well for this, for my friend," as he passes on to the other world. That's a friend. So Krishna is, you know, these are illustrations of a friend of this world. But Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna is a friend of his devotees. He considers them like vatsas. Vatsas means like a small calf. You know, small calf? Who will not take care of a small calf? No, Radha Kripa has fallen in love or fell in love with a small calf. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I hope you didn't hurt yourself. But our devotees eat a lot of prasadam. One bench was, there were three heavyweight devotees who broke a bench. This is how Krishna makes everyone humble. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He considers his devotees like a normal, you know, moral and ethical person considers a calf, like a calf. He needs my protection. I know, I've seen pictures with Radha Kripa with her favorite calf. Isn't it? So much affection flows to the calf. This is how Krishna feels to his devotees. So much affection. My devotees, they are trying. And Krishna is grateful. So the devotees doesn't need to have, he may regret, "I have not given my best," but he doesn't need to be afraid because of this. There is one comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about how the devotee, how Krishna feels in relation to a devotee who chants his holy name. Krishna feels, he chants my name, he is mine, I will always protect him. This is how Krishna has this friendly bhava or Bhakta Vatsala towards his devotees. No? And Krishna proved this. There was this Ajamil, you remember Ajamil? How he was once a saint and then he became a sinner and robbed and stealing people's money and did all the things which are very wrong. And then at the moment of his death, he somehow saw his little son who was named Narayan playing nearby, and he shouted in great shock his name, "Narayan!" He was so afraid, you know. He had seen the Yamadutas approaching him to pull him out of his body, you know. Fear of separation was very strong. So at the moment he chanted the name, he only meant his son. He didn't mean God. At the moment where he chanted the name, the Lord began to think about him. And he decided, this person is mine. I must protect him. And he thought very carefully, the Lord, how can I take care of him? And the way the Lord did it is, he just kept him in his body for 2 more weeks. Ajamil went to Haridwar and worshipped the Lord in a temple next to the Ganga. And after 2 weeks, he left his body and went back home, back to God. This was the plan of the Lord, to save him. Wonderful. My dear devotees, you may regret at the time of your death. Maybe you have also missed opportunities. But there is not this existential fear. What now? You know Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. So all the other types of fear, the fear of attachment, is taken care of because you have learned, as you were following the road of mercy, I have to transform the concept of I and mine. Often we are so attached to material things, but the moment you understand, well, I'm not the body. Let us say you have sexual attractions. Huh? That's something which is very prominent in young people. Then you just feel, no, I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of Radharani. I'm not this body. People think I'm a man or a woman, and I sometimes also begin to think it. But no, it's not the truth. I'm something else. You have a different perspective, and then the attachment goes. Imagine, you are blindly in love with someone, you're a man, and you see someone coming down the road, and it looks like the most beautiful woman. But then, as she turns around, you understand it's a man, it's a hippie. Okay, it's all right. Hare Krishna, no problem. Or you're a woman and you see a beautiful man, but as you look more closer, you see, no, this is not, this was wrong. It's a woman, I know nowadays there are mixed situations, but I'm just giving an example to show how when your perspective changes, attachment goes. Huh? That's an example for this. Even if there are nowadays people who due to some karma have this situation that they feel differently towards the gender, that is also happening. We live in this world. My example is one of, you see something in one way, and then all of a sudden you see it in a different way, and you lose your attachment. So the best thing to deal with sexual attractions is just to understand, I'm not a man, and she is not a woman. We are eternal spiritual souls. Hare Krishna. The looks are totally different. Oh yes, we are servants of Krishna. Wonderful. Oh good, I'm feeling so relieved. I saved myself a lot of trouble. We can feel like this in Grihastha Ashram also. Yes, this is my wife. She is a servant of Krishna. I will support my wife in her service to Krishna. And as women, we can also feel like that. And we will save ourselves a lot of trouble from material attachments. At least we can theoretically think like this. And when it comes to bringing children into the world, it's a different story. So, yes, Then there is this other fourth fear, the fear of the future, when the dying person is on his deathbed and he thinks, oh, where will I go? Where will I go? Oh, where will I go? Oh, I don't know, an insecure situation. There are so many obstacles. I won't make it in my Krishna conscious life. But see, when you follow the path of the acharyas, they will take care that the obstacles go away. And the way they do this is in an amazing way. The way the great souls take care of us is they give us another, it's called matihi. Mati is a Sanskrit word which means inclination. We were thinking in one way, but when we are with devotees, you will see at the end of the festival, it will happen most probably, oh, I pray that it will happen to each one of us, we will have an inclination, a more strong inclination to serve Krishna and to go back home, back to Godhead. That's the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. And that's also the mercy of Lord Nityananda, especially of Lord Nityananda. He takes the inclination for sense gratification from our heart and gives us another inclination. You understand what is inclination? No? How do we translate inclination? Skonost. Is it? Does it sound all right? Skonost? It's how we feel drawn to something. Like, I have a strong inclination to reading. I can't end a day without reading, you know. It's already 2 o'clock in the morning, but I have not read, and there's this interesting book, and my inclination goes, whoop, and then I'm again up till the morning, and everything is hopeless about getting up early, you know. So it's an inclination. Every one of us has an inclination. Some have an inclination for music. Others have an inclination for eating, like anything. You know, others are a little bit revolutionary inclined. They always say no to everything because that's their inclination. We all are born with different inclinations, samskaras. But when you get the mercy of Nityananda and you follow the path of the devotees, you will get another inclination. Your goal of life becomes different. Hare Krishna. So in this way you don't have to fear the fear of the future, because you will go wherever your inclination is. Inclination again was skonost. Did I say it correctly? Oh, this is a skonost. Aha, I can say it now. Sklonost. The sklonost, yes. Well, not the greatest glory to speak Croatian, but thank you very much anyway. It's a difficult word, sklonost. It's really important for all of us. Inclination. That is described in Shastra very nicely. I have something here for you. Don't worry, I'm almost finished. When someone opens a book, I have something for you. Oh, that needs another half an hour. Bhava pavargo brahmato yadha bhavesh janas yataya chyuta satsamagama satsangamo yahi tadaiva satgato paravareshe tvai jayate rati. When the material life of a wandering soul comes to the end because he's really starting material life will make him happy. Oh, Achyuta, at that time, he will attain the association of your devotees. And when such a person, you know, it's like all of you are in this category, your material life is coming to an end sooner or later, it depends on your inclination. And when such a person associates with your devotees, then in his heart there will be an inclination will be awakened of devotion to you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and effects. Okay. Yeah, it's like this. You meet these devotees and you are in their association and you begin to feel in your heart, I want a spiritual life. I mean, I want this. This is really what I want. It will come in your heart. And that's, if you have this in your heart, this inclination, Hogya. Hogya means everything is done. No worry any longer. It's all right. It's only when this desire for sense gratification and ignorance, in other words, just clouds us, and then we are not awake to our reality of devotional life. Why is it that this inclination comes when you are with devotees? My dear devotees, it's because of this. Because Krishna comes to his devotees. He says so in scriptures, and there are many, many scriptural verses and so on, that Krishna feels attracted especially to the place where the devotees talk about him and sing about his glories. Krishna wants to go there. And when he is present, then because he is so attractive, then you also develop an inclination or desire to go in his direction, to go towards him. Yes. So I now know that 80% of my audience is in doubt. Oh, look at this Sachinandan Swami. He always comes with these impractical lectures. We know the path of the Acharyas is full of obstacles. There's Nama Parad. There is 36 types of Seva Parad. There are 6 types of Vaishnava apparat. Ooh, there are so many obstacles. Who should believe this unrealistic Swami that we can make it on the way? My dear devotees, I will now speak to you in very clear language, but you first have to give me your permission to do so. You will not. It will be heavy. I don't even know, because I don't know who's in the internet. Hello, internet devotees. The devotees have given me their permission. I will now say something. Oh, fools! Oh, terrible, deceived fools! You think that the Lord cannot remove obstacles from your path? Do you think obstacles are greater than Krishna's desire to help you? Do you think your weaknesses, which after all are not so significant, because nothing of us is very, very, very significant, do you think that can't be taken care of? Do you honestly think obstacles are stronger than Lord Gauranga's mercy? This was Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. It doesn't go on my account, but I said so. His argument is very well taken. He says, I have, he speaks the doubting voice. I've done millions of sadhanas, no use. And then the other voice comes, oh, ignorant person, don't you know of the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and Nityananda's mercy? My Lord has a fairy on this side of the ocean of birth and death. And this fairy is simply the association of Vaishnavas singing with them the holy name and following the helmsmen, the capitains, the captains of the boat. This is so simple. You just follow that. My strong, let me say, conviction, my dear devotees, is really like this. If we really understand the process which Krishna gave when he thought about our case and understood, oh, it's Kali Yuga, people are not so qualified as they used to be. At that time, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give a simple process. That is, develop your taste in chanting, do the service to the Vaishnavas, don't offend them, don't criticize them, and do something to help others, Jiva Daya. Then you will go back to the spiritual world and you will be recognized and appreciated. You will be welcomed, I wanted to say. They will say, a new arrival from there, from Croatia. No, they will most probably say, from that one particular little tiny insignificant universe which is so easy to manage that Brahma only needs four heads and not millions. I don't know how they will describe our situation. A new arrival, a newly arrived soul has come. I really think, you know, all what I wanted to say today about is I wanted to talk about the road of mercy. The road of mercy. Ask yourself the question, are you accepting the mercy or are you resisting the mercy? This is an important question to ask one day before Nityananda's appearance day. In his Leela, Lord Nityananda wanted to show that even the most fallen people who get in the boat, so to say, of chanting and stop offending, they have a very realistic chance. He saved Jagai and Mata. So, one day before, I will not close this lecture. I would like to end by reading to you the 12 names of the moon-like Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Not reading, chanting it with you. Would you kindly join me in glorifying Lord Nityananda, preparing you. And the prayer says, Nityananda Prabhu is the embodiment of eternal bliss. He gives ecstatic love to Krishna. He is the older brother of Sachimata's son, Nimai. And because of overwhelming ecstasy, he is crazy. Bhavan Mato. I wouldn't say crazy, so disrespectful. It's not a good translation. He's an avaduta. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the savior of the universe, and his body, the complexion is golden with a little red color. Red because he's intense. Kindly repeat.
Nityanando
Vadutendur.
Nityanando
Vadutendur.
Vasudha
Pranavallabha. Vasudha
Pranavallabha.
Janavi Jivita
Pati.
Janavi
Jivita Pati.
Krishna Prema
Prada Prabhu.
Krishna
Prema Prada
Prabhu.
Padmavati
Sudhashima.
Padmavati
Sudhashima.
Shachinandana
Purvaja.
Shachinandana
Purvaja.
Bhavanmato
Jagatrata.
Bhavanmato
Jagatrata.
Rakta
Gaura
Kalevara.
Rakta
Gaura Kalevara.
Nityanandara.
Nityananda
da,
Nityananda da,
Nityananda
da,
Nityananda
da,
before we all start moving, Is there something we need to know, Sundarananda?
Yes, there is.
There is. Sundarananda is just getting ready to tell us. Yes.